Reading from Matthew 1 this morning. Let's worship even as we read this good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 on page 1497 in your pew Bibles. Page 1497. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then let's turn ahead three books to John 3. Page, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, who is dead in sin, though he thinks he's good. Dead in sin and needs new life, and Jesus teaches him the way of life. John 3, I would like to read verses 14 through 19, but our text is 16 and 17. John 3, 14 through 19, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Again, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it was easy enough to choose John 3, verse 16 and 17 as a text. For the next couple of Sundays and on Christmas Day, I want to ask a question. Why did Jesus come? The mission of Jesus. And it seemed the most obvious starting place is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus came to save the world. But as I studied it further, I began to become afraid. I can't do justice to a verse like this. I noticed that Charles Spurgeon, pastor in London, England, in the 19th century, was looking through his files in 1885 after he'd been a pastor for 31 years and noticed he had no files on John 3 verse 16. No sermons in his file. He'd never preached on this passage, though he said it was the theme of my whole ministry. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the little Bible in itself. Matthew Henry calls John 3:16 the essence of all true theology. One pastor called it the unpreachable text and then went ahead and preached on it anyway. And that's how I feel this morning. The unpreachable text. And yet it's God's word. And may he bless us and build us through this good word, which has been so instrumental in saving so many millions of people throughout the ages. John 3:16. Notice how the word world is used four times in these two verses. Check that out again. Four times. God so loved the world. He sent his son into the world. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Four times. The mission of Jesus is to come from God in heaven, God the Father, to save the world. It's a mission of love, first of all. It's a mission of sacrifice, and it's a mission of life. It's a mission of love. Now God gave to a son a rather daunting task. Son, in sending you down to save the world. To save the world. Why? Son, I'm sending you down to save the world because I love the world. And that's why Jesus came to earth. Why he was conceived in good-for-nothing Nazareth. Born in little Bethlehem. He came as the great gift of God's love. We must never think, as some do, God the Father is mean and angry and full of wrath towards the world. While Jesus Christ, his Son, is kind and loving, and Jesus steps in between the sinful world and an angry God to shield us from an angry God. Oh, God is angry with the world and we're under his wrath. True. But he came as an agent, an instrument of God's love. God sent him. God's love gave Jesus and sent Jesus into the world. We need to grab that and let that change our lives and our outlook. God's love gave Jesus and sent him into the world. Jesus came because God so loved the world. That world that he was so angry toward. And yet he loved it so much that Jesus came on a mission of God's love to a world that hated God and opposes God. You see, love isn't dragged out of God as if it's, well, hard to get, but sometimes he shows it. It's his nature, brothers and sisters. It's his heart to love. God so loved the world. Some narrow this word world to just the elect. God so loved the elect in the world. The ones that God chose from all eternity to save. But if you do a study of the word world in John, world, cosmos, doesn't mean just the elect narrowly. Nor does it mean the physical universe, the rocks and trees and planets and galaxies broadly. We know that from the very verse itself. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him. It's personal. The world refers to persons. But which ones? You see, the word world in John means a sinful human race that's in radical rebellion against God. A human race that hates God. That denies his existence. That defies his laws. That shakes fists at him and screams profanities at him. That's the world God loved. That's the world God loved so much. He sent his son to enter it and save it. And to save it not from global warming, but from suffering under God's curse in hell forever. That's the world. The countless number of perishing sinners. That's the world God so loved that he sent his son into it to save it. And so we must understand that Jesus came to earth many years ago on God's love mission. You know why? Earth couldn't solve its own sin problem. Nobody good enough. Nobody smart enough. Nobody strong enough. And God took pity on a human race that was destroying itself and under the curse of sin. He took pity and he said, I'm coming down myself. As God's Son is God. I'm coming down myself. Since nobody on earth can do it, heaven's coming down. It's God's love mission. It's absolutely amazing and shocking. With all the ways that I've turned on God in my life and hated him, I should be left to perish forever under his wrath. That's what's fair. That's what I deserve. But God is love. And it wasn't anything in us that caused him to send his son. It was only something in himself, his own love, that prompted him to offer his son to a perishing world, that the world might be saved by God instead of condemned by God. That's God's love. He offered his son to the world, to all who are lost, calling all to believe, promising salvation and life to everyone who does believe, everyone from anywhere, in any situation. In giving his son up to die, Jesus, or God the Father, loved the world. Now, I want to be clear this morning, because this is a controversial and some of you aren't going to like this. But it's true, and that's why I'm going to say it. There is a special and unique and eternal kind of love that God has for believers only, and that he doesn't have for the whole world. John 17, Jesus says to his Father, "You have loved those whom you have given to me as you've loved me. You've loved those believers, the elect that you've given to me. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated." There's a special, unique, eternal kind of love that God has for believers only, for the elect only. But let us also see, and here's the part that gets controversial. There's also a real and profound love that God has for this lost world that prompted him to offer his son to the whole world. To offer him as a way of salvation from perishing, from destruction. For God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not want to see anyone perish. And his love offers a way out of death to everyone in the world who hears the gospel of his son. And so I agree with John Piper, who puts it this way. We may say to everyone, God loves you. And this is how he loves you. He gave his son to die, so that if you would believe, your sins would be forgiven and you would have eternal life. We can say that to everybody. We shouldn't use the old line, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, because that's God's business, what plan he has for people. We don't know his plan. But we can go to everybody and say, God loves you and has a wonderful promise for your life. Believe this promise and he'll save you from your sin. And it's important for us to know God this way, as I said last week. And we view the world and our neighbors this way, like Jesus did. He came on a mission to love and to save the world and to demonstrate God's love for sinners. And as you go about living, working in your families in this world, do people see you as a representative of the God who so loved the world? Do you show that to those around you? Do people know you as a kind and loving person? Do they know you as caring and giving? Do they see that on your face when they meet you in the checkout line and you're feeling rushed? They see that you represent the God who loves you. Or when you're in the line of traffic and you feel like, I gotta get going. Do they see that you represent the God of love? And when your employee messes up, does he or she see in you that you come from the God of love? You've been loved by God. Or do they see in us pushing, shoving, impatient, ramming, me first kind of people who don't really care about anybody else? Or loving people who want the world to be saved? Jesus came on a mission of love and he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Let's see, secondly, he came on a mission of sacrifice. He gave. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just say, I love you, as an empty phrase that we as sinners often talk about love that way. Just an empty word that doesn't translate into action. Because love is not a mere feeling or sentiment. Love is an action of sacrifice, of giving yourself away for the blessing and saving of another. And that's what God did. God so loved, the word so means, God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only son. It cost him dearly, not just Jesus. It cost the Father dearly to take the blessed son, whom he loves infinitely, loves forever, who's been with God forever from the beginning, who is God. And they've shared together from all eternity and shared their glory, and now he's going to give them up. He's going to give them over to us who are not worthy. He's going to give the sinless and infinitely love-worthy Son. He gave His nearest and His dearest. That's the gift. Oh, if only in the Christmas season we'd remember again. That's the gift we're celebrating. Not the presents under the tree. We get lost, don't we, in the true meaning. He who did not spare His own Son, Romans 8, verse 32, but gave Him up for us all. He gave Him up. And there's two things that make this gift of God's love, this sacrifice, so amazing. Number one, He gave Him to the world. He gave Him to the world. Not to good people who love Him. To the world. To sinners. To enemies who are in rebellion against God. Who hate God and want Him dead. Son, I'm giving you to the world. What sacrifice. What amazing love that God would give His precious, beautiful, beloved, eternal Son over to His enemies. Romans 5 verse 8, and this God showed His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were good and worthy, but while we were enemies. Somebody put it this way. It's just as amazing, only a million times more, as if you should say to your son, there's something I want you to do for me, son. I have some enemies that deserve to perish. They hate me. They want to destroy me. And I want you to go and die in their place so that they can have eternal life. Whatever else you know about God, make sure you know that He's like that. Second thing about this sacrifice that shows His amazing love. He gave Him to the world, but He gave His Son to a world that is perishing. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish. The world's in a state of perishing. And that's why God sent Jesus, and that's where God sent Jesus. And what does perishing mean? And give you four aspects to what it means to perish in the Bible. Number one, it's to be under God's wrath and condemnation for sin. And that's heavy. That's heavy. That's deadly. To be rightly under His wrath and condemnation. Number two, it means to be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, to be tormented forever. That's perishing. Revelation 14. Number three, it means to be shut out from the presence of the Lord forever and ever, and not to know any of His goodness anymore. 2 Thessalonians 2 or 1. And fourthly, it means to perish, that you're in that state of eternal torments. Eternally and irreversibly, as Jesus said in Luke 16, there's a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell so that no one can cross from one side to the other. When you're there forever. And when God gave His Son, He said, Son, I want you to go there, under God's wrath and condemnation, into the lake of burning sulfur. Be shut out from the presence of the Lord for an eternity, a weight, at least the weight of eternity. That's where I want you to go. I want you to enter that place for sinners and to make their condemnation and their punishment and their hell and their eternal suffering and their death your very own so you can release them from it. So that whoever believes in you will not perish but have eternal life. And He didn't force that on His Son either. It was an agreement. An eternal agreement of love between the Father and the Son. And so, for God so loved the world, is a double love. It's a love of God the Father in giving up His Son and sending Him into the world to save us. But it's also the love of the Son who came gladly and willingly to honor His Father and save sinners. Amazing love. Amazing sacrifice. What wondrous love is this, R.B. Kuyper wrote, that God should love hell-deserving sinners who hate Him and love them so much that He was willing that His one and only Son, whom He loves with all the love of His infinite heart, should go to hell in their place. Oh, and we see that God gave. We see that word, God so loved the world that He gave. That word should grip the heart, stun the soul, and lead us to praise forever. And fill us with the holy love of God that wants to give ourselves to Him who gave Himself to us in thanksgiving. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It's a mission of love. It's a mission of sacrifice. Will we then not be willing to sacrifice our comfort zones? Will we not be willing to sacrifice our time and energy so that others might know about the sacrifice of God for sinners? I think of that sometimes. God has done so much to sacrifice Himself for us, the Father and the Son, and He saved us. And then we're so often unwilling to get outside of ourselves and love the lost around us and spend time to get to know our neighbors and witness to them and invite them to church and invite them over for coffee and look for a way to tell them what Jesus has done for you. Let's spend ourselves and be spent for the sake of the gospel to our family, to those around us. Thirdly, Jesus came on a mission of life to save the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a teacher in Israel and thinks of himself as good and good with God. And he doesn't know that he's a sinner and he's dead and he needs new life. And he's outside of the kingdom of God and he's perishing even though he's very religious. And you might be in that spot. Just been forever going to church. Just been forever living a religious life and doing the right things. Just forever living the neat and tidy Christian culture. And might not have an ounce of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And might not see that you're dead in your sin. And you need to be rescued from you. That's Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus. Outside of the kingdom of God. Needs a new life, just like Israel, in the desert, perishing from snake bites, poisonous snake bites that God sent to punish them for the rebellion. That's what Nicodemus and we are like by nature. But remember how God in love told Moses, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, set it up, and whoever looks to that snake will be saved, will not die but live. Of course, the snake, the brass snake on a pole can't save anybody. It was a picture of Jesus. And now Jesus says, that's me. I'm the fulfillment. I'm life for the dead. I'm life for the perishing. Whoever looks to the Son, to the Lord Jesus, will live forever. And that's why Jesus came. To save the lost of this world by dying for sin. And whoever believes in Him will receive two gifts. You'll receive two gifts from God. Number one, your eternal perishing will be taken away from you. Number two, eternal life will be given to you. Eternal perishing will be taken away from you because Jesus came to take that for you upon Himself. And if you believe in Him, that's yours personally. No longer perishing because Jesus perished in your place. No longer condemned, because Jesus was condemned for you. No longer under God's wrath, because Jesus came under God's wrath in your place. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But also eternal life will be given to you. What is eternal life? It doesn't simply mean you get to exist forever. Everybody exists forever, even in hell. No, it means you get to live forever. And life in the Bible. You got to go back to the Garden of Eden to see what life is. Life is walking and talking with God and blessed harmony and perfect happiness. And there's no sin and no hardship and no sorrow and no grief and no death, just glory. And life is walking and talking with one another without any feuding. And without any fighting, and without any resentment or bitterness or painful memories, that's life. And God sent His Son to restore to us that life with God that is forever and ever and shall never end, and every day will be better than the last. That's what heaven is. And when we believe, we get to experience the beginning of that eternal life already now. Get to experience the beginning of that joy of living with God and with His people already now. And that experience will only multiply infinitely when we get to heaven and then to the new creation. That's life. I used to not really like the concept of eternal life. Just day after day after day after day, you just keep on going. Oh no, life in the Bible is infinitely richer and better and higher than that. Life with God, life in the Spirit, where all the fruit of the Spirit fills you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's you. 100% you. By God's grace. Because the Spirit has put Jesus in you. Jesus has grown and filled you. Grown in you and filled you. That's life. And this is for whoever believes in Jesus. And that's my closing challenge this morning. Brothers and sisters, this means Jesus is for everybody. He's the Savior of the world, says John. I'm the bread of God who came down to give life to the world, Jesus said in John. The Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world, says John. And that means He's for you here today, all of you. All of you, the young. I hear somebody crying. I don't know who. He's for you, Yvonne. He's for you. He's for the old, Mrs. Boss today. She's not exactly old, but she's getting up there. It's for the old. It's for the in-between. For the self-righteous who think they're quite good or who think they're not so good, but they look down on others who think they're good. There's various ways of being self-righteous. He's for the despairing who see that they're very bad, hopelessly bad. He's for the little children, the ones who live neat and tidy lives with everything in just the right place. You're perishing too and you need rescue. For the ones whose lives are chaotic and out of control. The rich and the poor, the educated, the uneducated. We all have this in common. We're perishing and we need life. And that life is found in God's Son. And it's yours by faith today. He came to save you and He's calling you. Take His outstretched arm. Go to Him if you don't have enough faith. Say with that man, I believe. Help my unbelief. Ask Him for help. He's a Savior. He is everything for you. Just name it and He'll give it to you. He came to save you. He won't deny you. He came to save the world. But Jesus says at the end of John 3, if you don't believe, you'll perish. You'll be condemned. In fact, you're under God's wrath right now and condemned already. But He still loves you and is calling you to flee from the wrath of God to the love of God through the door of Jesus Christ. Go to Him now. Don't spend one more day as a child of wrath. Not one more day. It's a waste of life. Jesus is for all. He's for all your neighbors too and for all the nations too. Let everyone around you this year know the true meaning of Christmas. God gave His Son to save you. We need to say to all our neighbors and to give you life. Well, may the love of Christ compel us to go out and tell the world, get to know them, invite them to church to show we care. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your infinite love for us. And for Your indescribable gift to us, Your love none can measure, Your greatness none can fathom, Your wisdom none can comprehend. Who is a God like You? Help us to receive the gift of Your Son in faith. And so make us Your very own dear children, specially loved by You, eternally loved. Holy Spirit, You're the wind that blows where it wills. May Your powerful wind blow through our hearts, giving us faith and repentance that lead to salvation. And help us to show and tell Your great love to all around us so that we might be faithful promoters of the good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Use us to build Your church and to advance Your mighty kingdom to all nations through all the earth. We pray that You will bless our Sunday school teachers and students today and use the memory work and the Bible stories to form Yourself, Lord Jesus, in their lives. Bless our Bible studies and catechism classes in the coming week so that we may grow in our knowledge and our faith and our holiness and our love for one another and in our testimony of Jesus Christ before a perishing world. Bless the service at Craigwheel this afternoon too. Lord, may the good news shine brightly in that place during that time. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.